Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, the miracle stories in the Gospels are carefully chosen to make a point, to teach a lesson. They're historical, but more importantly, they're catechetical. God is at work in our world. God is at work in our lives. The shorthand for that reality is the kingdom of God. God at work. And the stories of Jesus healing, for example, blind beggars, remind us that we need help to see the whole picture of how God works in our life and in our world. And so the tales may be about cataracts, and they may be about macular degeneration, but about faith, about the ability to see something beyond what we might see physically. And tales about curing the lame are about strengthening weak hips and crooked knees, but also, maybe more importantly, about the moral life and about walking God's path deliberately, resolutely, sometimes courageously, walking the talk, they say. And stories about healing the deaf are not about punctured eardrums, but about changing attitudes which enable us finally to hear the persistent voice of God in our lives, and also enabling us to hear the cry of the poor. Deafness of any kind is a problem. Let's kind of step back from that gospel and sweep around, get a sense of what we bring as we hear it this morning. Deafness of any kind is a problem. I say that as one whose own hearing has been diminished in years. I miss things that are said on television. Comments in a noisy crowd often leave me saying, "Would you say that again?" When I wear my hearing aids, supposedly calibrated for both large meetings and also small conversations, costing $3,000 apiece, I point out by observation, the sound of odd things comes crashing in on me. A chair across the room is jarring. The rattle of newspapers, even, can be surprising. The sound of car horns, it's not their loudness, it's their unexpectedness. They say that men and women lose their hearing differently. They say that men lose the upper range of hearing as we age, and that women lose the lower range of hearing, which means that couples get along very well because they really don't hear each other very well, and the response is, "Yes, dear," when they haven't a clue what anyone said. It's a gift from God. To be honest, without seeming to become a crank, I worry about younger people. And I worry about what price they will pay for having those earbuds in their, you know, as they go through life listening to all kinds of wonderful music, maybe mine, maybe not, but wonderful music. But what price will people pay for that? Serious hunters and shooters, my father was one of them, who would lean into the gun in order to have the sight very clear, suffer because of the version of the gun in that ear. Eventually, things like that catch up with you. So we bring whoever we are to hear this gospel passage or to hear parts of it. Those with sight impairment don't see the beauty of a sunset. However, they do hear the color of affection, or they hear the nuance of what is said in ways that the deaf do not. So the blind hear red rage, and they hear blue sorrow, and they hear golden joy. The deaf know the signs, they get the message, but they don't always hear the affect that comes with it, and so there can be confusion. Hearing is obviously very important for communication. We respond to what we hear. I have a nephew. At the age of 3, it suddenly became very apparent to the family, and I don't know how to say this differently, I'll say it this way, that he was speaking thickly. He was speaking thickly. And then it was clear that he was saying exactly what, but his hearing was impaired and needed to be addressed. It took time to figure that out. There are whole cultures who can be very powerful reminders of the value of listening carefully. Our Native American community this very weekend is down celebrating Indian Summer at the festival grounds by the lake. It's a perfect example of a whole culture that has something to teach us. They're preparing for the canonization of Kateri Tekakwitha later this month. Wonderful moment. They consider it very rude to respond immediately to a statement. Something is said, and then they would insist on waiting a moment, 2 moments, before responding, because they see it, hear it, as important to think about what was said before quickly answering. I remember once being at a Native American Council of Elders, and I remember someone saying, "I think there should only be one member of a community on this from one family on this council. Only one member of a family on this council." There was silence. A minute? 2 minutes? Then someone else said, "I agree." And then again, silence. A minute? 2 minutes? 3 minutes? And then someone else said, "I quit." And afterwards, Sister Margaret said to me, "Oh," she said, "I'm so embarrassed you came to this meeting." I said, "Well, why, Margaret? It was very interesting." She said, "They were so angry." And I would never in a million years have understood that. But they were taking things and all out. They have much to teach us. So the gospel today tells us a story of Jesus healing a deaf man. Carefully chosen, because it highlights the importance of listening carefully to the gospel proclaimed regularly in our midst. Even more serious than physical deafness is moral deafness, an unwillingness to hear or pay attention to the voice of God or the cry of the poor around us. So it's the mind, as I suggested earlier, the mind that needs healing, the eardrums. And that includes everyone. In our tragically divided, polarized society, we simply have to learn to listen better to each other and not shout slogans over each other's voices, because our small piece of the truth is only a small part. There's a profound message in the book of Jeremiah in which God says, "I didn't ask you to offer sacrifice. I just said, listen to my voice." Listen to my voice. Curiously, as I've said before from this very place, in Hebrew there is no word for obey. There's no word. The word they use is listen. The presumption is if we listen carefully, we will change ourselves. We'll be changed in the process if we listen carefully. In the old baptismal ritual, and that would include any one of us over the age of 45 or 47 or something like that, the old baptismal ritual included a reference to this gospel in which the presider at the baptism touched the ears of the infant or adult, usually infant, being baptized and said, "Ephphatha, be opened to the gospel that will change and direct your life. Ephphatha, be opened." So we hear this gospel passage and recognize, once again, it's not simply about somebody else long ago. It's about us. The gospel of the Lord.